first episode on the podcast where we interview a guest. Now, this guest is Jean. Jean runs his own email marketing agency, and he hopes in the next 6 to 9 months to take it to 100K, and I'm pretty sure he's going to do it. So just to give you a little bit of background information, I reached out to Jean through the Fastlane forum. That's the fastlaneforum.com, and this isn't an ad. I've actually been a member there for many years, and it's a part of the book The Millionaire Fastlane by the author MJ DeMarco. So if you are going through this journey as an entrepreneur, I highly recommend going there, signing up, and just consuming all of the content there, all of the progress threads, all of the advice, and just immerse yourself in it, because it will change your life. And 100% read the book as well, The Millionaire Fastlane. That will change your life as well. Let's go into the interview and hope you enjoy it. Welcome to my first interview on my podcast. Yeah. So I'm pretty sure it's going to be a good one, because the reason that I wanted to kind of get you on this podcast is because we sound very similar from your progress thread. You say that some of the key takeaways for me on your thread was obviously building an agency. You recently left your job and you're looking to travel more. And you've also worked in e-commerce as well. It sounds like you've also run a successful business there. So it's very similar to me. So I thought maybe, we could kind of bounce ideas off each other and just kind of connect and hopefully build some sort of business relationship over time, yeah. So.
Sure. I mean, I'm always open to connecting to other business owners or other entrepreneurs, and it's always useful to share ideas. So yeah, happy you reached out. Maybe I'll just tell you a bit about myself. So
Sure.
I finished university around 3 years ago. Got started typical the way anyone gets started. I think after uni is around 60K job after uni, you get started and you realize wow, man, is this all that life has to offer,
Yeah, for sure.
And I already knew this was coming. When I was in university, I always knew I wanted to do my own thing. I always knew I wanted to do something online in business. And so I did things left and right, some affiliate marketing, some drop shipping, trying out all kinds of stuff, but never really had that fire under my ass, to really push it forward. It was just a hobby, it was not something serious.
Yeah, sure.
And so once uni finished and I had the job, I was okay, now I really need to just change something up big time. And what I did 6 months after I started my job, I changed cities. So it was still with the same job, but I changed cities from Munich to Hamburg. And I changed my social circle completely. So met completely new people. I got a membership at WeWork. I don't know if you also work from a co-working space, but that's also one of the big things I would say is surround yourself with people that are doing what you're doing, and co-working spaces are so helpful. And then, I just took drop shipping very seriously, started taking e-commerce seriously. And 7 months ago, I completely quit my job and just started focusing on email marketing agency now.
How does that feel? How does it feel to be free of a job?
I had my savings, so it's not I'm under too much pressure. But I would also say that for me, the jump came a bit, I could have done it sooner. I would say I could have done it 6 months earlier than I did. So I stayed in that job for 2.5 years. I could have probably done it after 1.5, maybe after 2 years. But in retrospect, also, I would recommend anyone to first really be making revenue with whatever side hustle you have, and then quit your job after you're already making revenue. And it's not just a theoretical idea in your head, but you actually proved it in the real world, and you know that it's something that's actually, you're executing on it.
Yeah, I 100% agree, because I was in a job for 8 years, and I've been kind of, I guess you could say, entrepreneur for many years, just kind of doing side hustles and things. And COVID was what made me kind of push, what was pushed me into kind of to take the leap of faith and leave my job to kind of pursue business full time. And it's definitely when you're doing the business full time is kind of when you get the entire kind of learnings of it, I guess you could say. So you got the stress then of a new from the outside stresses. You've got your friends and your family thinking you're crazy.
You made it public as well, yeah. I mean, when you quit the job, you do anyways.
That's it.
I made it even more public because, like, you know, I have my LinkedIn profile, and then I just like changed my job, you know, from chemical engineer to email marketer. And then like I started because I was doing social selling on LinkedIn, so like my whole network was still on there from my ex and colleagues and my parents and everyone, and I'm like, fuck it, like,
that's it, all in.
Yeah, all in. And it's true, it gives you a huge boost, you know, when you commit publicly. It's like,
that's it. There's no turning back then, is there? So you kind of, you burn your bridges, as they say. So
yeah,
I mean, so obviously you're in the agency space now, and this is like where I really wanted to kind of dig into questions with you, because that's I'm also in the agency space, but I do Amazon pay-per-click. So I feel that maybe we can kind of bounce ideas off each other as we're just chatting along about things, because and obviously you don't have to reveal all your secrets, because you know that we won't have millions of people listening to this, but there may be some people listening, and they may be on our tails then if we give away our secrets. So,
you know, I'm not such a big hoarder of information, so it's all cool.
No.
It's all
good. Yeah.
It's actually funny though that you just mentioned that, you because I remember you said Amazon as an agency. There's actually two guys here in my office right now. They're like my neighbors pretty much in this office, and they're also doing agency for Amazon PPC.
Is it amazing?
Yeah. So maybe so after this call, I can connect you guys as well. Yeah.
Oh, that'd be amazing. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And I guess they're in the, doing the German side of the ads. So
that's probably German, these guys.
Yeah. It's probably a lot less saturated. Yeah.
The grass is always greener. Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, in terms of like, I guess with like your email marketing, I'm just interested to know what is kind of like your focus for the email marketing. Do you have a particular niche that you go after, or is it kind of a broad kind of approach at the minute?
So I guess the niche is Shopify stores that are making over 50K revenue per month and that are willing to use Klaviyo as their email software. That's pretty much my niche.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter what kind of product they're selling, as long as it's a physical product and it's a typical e-commerce business model. That's my background. So like the last 3 years I was doing Shopify and selling my own stuff. And I think that's also a huge advantage, because most agency people, it's like, they didn't do anything before, and then they start as a agency or a consultant or whatever, or a coach, and they're just always coming from like the trying to sell the service, trying to sell the coaching, whatever. But I think I have this advantage that like I used to be a store owner, and then the funny thing is the reason that I got into email marketing agency is because I was actually a store owner, and someone approached me, an email marketing agency, and I hired them to take on some tasks for email marketing. And then I realized like, wow, this is actually like, I wish I had his business model, because it was just something that really resonated with my personality type. Like, I think everyone needs to kind of like, there's no right or wrong business model. Like all of the ones that you hear about these days on the internet, you wouldn't be hearing about them if they didn't work, you know? So I think it's just about really finding the one that you resonate with the most, the one that makes the most sense for your experience. And email marketing was like, for me, that one. So it was like, it's a mixture of B2B, because like you have clients and it's like you're doing B2B and you're selling the service to the client, to another business, but the execution and the actual service providing is B2C. And it's online, and it's the whole technical. I really like that mix. And the job that I used to have actually 3 years, so it was like in the chemical engineering, it was also a service-based company. And I had experience in sales, I had experience in all that service providing. And that also gave me a big advantage, kind of, because I'm able to build my business now in a similar fashion.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's super interesting. I never really thought of it like that, B2B and B2C. But it's kind of like a hybrid of the two. So, yeah, it's very interesting. It's kind of, yeah, it's good that is. So in terms of like the email marketing, I guess you must be a good copywriter. I've read obviously some of the progress threads, and you've got very good writing skills, to be fair.
To tell you the truth, like I write those texts like last thing in the evening before I go to sleep, and I don't proofread them. So I don't know about the quality. It's just like I just try to have consistency, you know, just a quick update every day. And copywriting, I mean, there's two ways, you know, with copywriting. It's like some people are really good at just like they just have like. I mean, in the end, everything practice makes perfect. You know, you like if you have a lot of hours of practice and you just really like to write, you can come up with stuff. But then there's a second type of copywriters, and I would say I'm probably one of the second type, and that's like you just know where to find texts or like how to research, and you don't copy paste like a paragraph, but you copy paste tiny snippets, and then you like change it up a bit, and you just know what good copywriting looks like. And you don't have to be able to create it yourself. You can just kind of like a Lego or a puzzle put it together.
I'd
And that's
say
what I
like
usually,
similar to you.
yeah, that's what I usually do with copywriting. It's like a puzzle. I just put stuff together, and then yeah, I don't know if you know the book, Breakthrough Advertising by Eugene Schwartz.
I've heard of it. I was actually going to ask you if you'd heard of a book, Cashvertising. So I was going to,
I've
mention
heard
that
of
one,
that
but
one. I've read it as well. Yeah, I've
that's the
read
one I
Cash.
used to use.
Yeah, I've read it, but I wouldn't say that I really practiced applying it so vividly. It was something like I read once and then put it on the shelf, but you know
That's
how it
it.
works. Like if you don't, like you have to read it and apply it daily for like at least a month and really internalize it.
Yeah, 100%. I've been similar to you. I always get like mental blocks. I wouldn't say I'm like a bad writer. I'm good at spelling, but in terms of like, I guess so many ideas in my head, I don't know which one to go down. So, yeah, I tend to like, because my kind of experience in the past has been like running my own kind of e-commerce stores, and obviously now my agency, where I don't really apply copywriting apart from if I do kind of email outreach to try and gain clients and so on. So I don't really use copywriting as much nowadays, but yeah, certainly used to just kind of pick little headlines here and there, put them together, and just go with it and kind of test. That's all you can do, isn't it? It's just got, everything's a test at the end of the day,
Very
in my
true,
opinion.
very
So yeah, for sure. That was another thing I was going to ask you actually, is like with your outreach, I think you said in your progress thread on the Fastlane forum, you've got like three clients. So this was probably back in May time. So you may have more than that now.
true.
But something I'm playing right now is it's called Trojan Horse Marketing. Have you heard of that one?
No, not yet.
Super interesting. And it does kind of get good results. I mean, I've got like two clients from it, but I wanted to kind of get your thoughts on it as well. But and especially with like the copywriting side of things, I think it could really kind of
Yeah, maybe you
benefit.
can explain like how does it work just on the surface level?
Yeah, for sure. So I mean, if you want to detail in depth on it, it's the guy's name is Tyler Benterud on YouTube. I can send you the link. But basically what it is instead of kind of sending a cold email to like a list of say 500 people with just text in it, you're essentially just recording a Loom video. And then that Loom video contains like a screenshot maybe of their website or of their product or of their social or of them, who, you know, depending on if it's a brand or a person or a service. And so when they get this email, all they see is like a thumbnail of a picture of a video with them on it or their product. And then you click it and it goes directly to the video. So I was just wondering if you'd thought about applying something like that. I mean, it's not because you mentioned B2B and B2C, you could use that initial bit for B2B, And then, of course, the copywriting for the B2C. I don't know if that's something you've ever tried, because I know you mentioned something about Loom in your program.
I've used, I guess I've done this without calling it like...
without even knowing.
Trojan horse marketing, yeah. So I know the strategy, and like I've done it as well, but I don't know, like most of my success now that I've found was usually by... I mean, the first three clients, like the ones that you probably are talking about that I had in May, those were all word of mouth connections from my social circle. So that anyways doesn't really count. But recently, the way I've been getting clients has just been like really calling people. I don't know how it is in the UK, but like in Germany, we have a big advantage, I would say, compared to US, because every website or like every online store needs to have an imprint on the website. So it's like, you know, like for example, privacy policy, like every website needs to have a privacy policy. Yeah.
Yeah.
And in Germany, and I think also in Spain and France, it's also like this. I don't know if it's like this in UK, but you need to have like one page called imprint, and there you need to have a business telephone number.
It's definitely not like that in the UK.
It's not.
Yeah, I mean, you do have businesses that have their numbers on, but I don't think there's a regulation for it.
Okay. Yeah, so in Germany, it's basically regulated. Like, you need to have an address, a name of the CEO, like whoever's running the business, the main guy, and the telephone number. So it's much, much easier to grab a hold of these guys and reach out to them.
You're cold calling nowadays. How do you find that?
I've done everything else. I've done Instagram direct messaging. I've done cold emailing, and like to thousands of people, and zero results.
Is it?
Like, yeah, really, really bad results. But because I don't know, I feel like with cold acquisition, the most difficult thing is just the factor of trust. And when you talk to someone on the phone, it's like, they don't just see what you're writing. They also have a voice and like tonality. So if they hear you're speaking and they can hear like, okay, this guy, like he doesn't sound like a scammer, you know? And like the longer I talk to him, like I explain to him my my service, then it ends up going much better than when I just send text or email or...
Is it? That's crazy. That is crazy.
I mean, I guess with Loom as well, you have, you know, you even have the video aspect. So like he can see like you're a legit guy.
Yeah.
And to tell you the truth, like I tried a bit of it, not so much, but I know I have a friend, he also has a Facebook ads agency, and he's been doing that strategy and it's working for him. So
yeah,
I just haven't used it because I've been okay with cold calling and calling people. So yeah, I'm just focusing on that now.
Is it? Oh, that's surprising. I guess it's because obviously in the UK, I mean, and probably the US. I mean, I don't have experience in the US, but it sounds like they're cold callers, like pests as such, you know, where they're kind of bombarded with them. Where over in UK, I'd say we're not.
The key is really to be very empathetic and like not like it takes practice, like with everything, obviously.
Yeah, sure. But,
it definitely needs practice, I would say.
Yeah.
I would say like the closing ratio or like the conversion rate of calling for me, at least from my experience, has been way higher than text or emails.
Is it? Oh, wow. I wouldn't have thought that. That's crazy. Yeah. I guess we're going really granular on this call right now, aren't we? We're very in-depth stuff. I mean, probably try and go a bit more broad, I guess. I mean, what's kind of your vision for your agency then?
So this agency, I really want to, so right now I'm at about 5K per month. You know, margins for the agency is like super high. So maybe 90% of that is profit. And I really want to take this to 100K per month profit. So
yeah, I saw that by December, is that right?
Yeah, by 10th of December this year. Let's see if I'll make it like in terms of the deadline. I mean, I have my calculations and stuff. It's going to be difficult, but I think it's realistic to say in the next 6 to 8 months that I can achieve it. So,
I think so.
The most difficult thing was really just getting the first few clients, getting references. So In about 2 weeks, I'm gonna have my existing clients take like video testimonials, and I
Nice.
also actually just started working on a new website, or not started working on it. I gave it to someone to do it.
Yeah.
So in about 2 weeks, like I'll have a website kind of ready to go with video testimonials, and just everything is a bit more professional. And I'm also going to record like a webinar to kind of have client acquisition. And also, since I come from the Facebook ad space, like I want to run some ads on it. Because I already experimented with it a bit, but I completely underestimated how much effort, how much time it takes. And now I slowly spent like a lot more structure, a lot more time on it.
Yeah.
And I think to reach 100K per month profit, I just need to focus on getting much better clients, so to say, like clients which are making more revenue, because I get paid on percentage. So it's really
Yeah.
important that my clients also are making a lot of revenue, and that I'm also helping my clients be successful. But yeah, number one focus is obviously getting more clients, getting higher quality clients, and automating the sales process, because otherwise it's going to be impossible to do like all these sales calls every day, and at the same time provide an amazing service.
Yeah, for sure. I agree with that. What I found is that the better, I say the better the client, the more kind of turnover and revenue they make, the actual easier it is to work with them. It's crazy. Like the bigger the company, the less hassle they give you.
Because they
So
nag. They don't
yeah, and
nag.
they got so many kind of like employees in place that they kind of just say. They delegate to another employee to tell you, and then it's kind of like you're given a kind of chance to breathe then, I find anyway, and then obviously you can deliver better work. That's the way I see it. But yeah, I think that's sounds good. Like the thing for me, and I think I said this when I reached out to you, is that you are definitely a step ahead of me. I'm on about 3K a month, but the thing that I've been like purely focusing on is for the last like 6 months, I'm still working on it, is my systems and processes. So that's something I'm finding really interesting at the minute. It's kind of like mapping everything out. Is it, have you done that at all or?
Yeah, so I use monday.com.
Yeah, I know monday.com.
It's just like basically to for teams to work with one another and like to have processes in place to make sure nothing slips through the cracks.
Yeah.
And I have a really good experience with it so far. Like it's a bit expensive, but it's totally worth it if you're using it. And yeah, that's a really good tool.
Yeah, for sure. So, what I tend to use is have you heard of Lucid Charts?
No.
Lucidchart.com. So it's kind of like you can almost compare it to like Paint as such, where you can just draw squares, circles, text, but you can kind of like visually map out all your processes and then break them down into like departments or categories. And then from there, you can transfer that into like Trello or Monday.com. And then you can kind of, it just kind of organizes things just way easier. But yeah, I mean, it's funny because the way I tend to work is I'll write down tasks, then I'll transfer to Trello. So I just kind of like double my work. I don't know why I do it. Kind of, it's good to get things on paper, I guess. And then I got like 100 pieces of A4 paper in front of me that kind of, I go through it. I'll add that to like Lucidchart or my Trello. And then it's just like, there's loads of duplicates, but occasionally there's things I've never thought of that are just like, oh, I need to add that as a system. It's just like constant, never ending. So it's the life of an
Yeah.
agency owner, isn't it? It's good though.
Systemizing things, yeah, it's always really important.
Yeah, for sure. So I guess yeah, what I'm trying to do with this podcast is I'm obviously documenting my journey, and that's why I want to get you on here, because you're documenting your journey as well. So it's like a double whammy, but I think it'll like appeal as well to others that are going through the same process that we are, or people looking to start. And so I guess like question that I've got for you is what would you recommend to somebody that's in a job right now and they want to go down this path of running a business full time.
Mm.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, for me, I always try and force them towards the Millionaire Fastlane book because that's the one
Yeah.
that really changed things for me. But yeah, what would you say?
I agree. It's a good book. It's a good book. Like what I mentioned in the beginning, so I think it's really important that you surround yourself with like-minded people who are also action takers. So
Yeah.
it's really not enough to surround yourself with people that are also reading the theory or that agree with you on the theory. It's really important that you surround yourself with people that are applying it and doing it.
Yeah, definitely.
And so if you have the opportunity, so like if you're working remote or you don't have to be in the office, I would say like number one, the best thing that you can do is get a membership in a co-working space and surround yourself like with people that are doing what you want to do, like that are already doing it. And then like, like learn from them, provide as much value as possible. Share your knowledge, share your help, and they will also share with you as well. So that's like, I would say step one is like surround yourself with those people as much as possible, take action, and don't quit your job until you have revenue coming in and you can really say, okay, like this idea is verified, it's making me money, and it's not just something which is costing me money. So I remember when I started, like, and I still had my job, it's like I was always losing money for like a year, pretty much every month, losing money on ads, losing money on the whole operations. But in my head, it was like, oh, it's okay, like, because I'm learning, or it's like I'm
Yeah.
making money from my job, and my job was just funding it. And looking back at that, it was really not, it was, I mean, it's not that it was bad because I learned a lot, and I mean, I went through that process. I don't know how else it could have looked like, but when I saw my friends basically who so they didn't have a job at all. They were just like making all their money with e-commerce, and I saw for them it was working. And eventually I just had to ask myself, like, what the hell? Like, why is it working for them and they're profitable and I'm not profitable, you know? And then I realized like one of the things is just because I didn't have so much pressure because I had the job and it was just like funding it kind of. And then I just actively said, no more, like this needs to be profitable. And then it did turn profitable. And then I quit my job and then yeah, it stayed
Yeah.
profitable. And I mean, I changed business models now also to the agency, which I resonate with much more. But yeah,
So
this
yeah,
is
all your friends now are making small profits on the e-commerce side, and you're making like 90% on your service business side. Winning, you're winning. Yeah,
I
that's
guess.
it. So it's all just at the end of the day is consistency and just keep going and trying, isn't it? So.
The worst thing, yeah, I mean, the only thing that you can do to not make it is give up, you know?
That's
So
it.
just
100%.
don't give up. Just don't give
Yeah.
up.
I'll say I just made a podcast last week about that actually.
Okay.
So the words that a friend of mine said to me is just don't stop. And that was a couple of years ago and I've never forgotten those. So
There's no, you're gonna regret it so much. I mean,
that's it. That's it.
because
There's no point.
what else are you gonna do? You know, it's like
Yeah.
you're gonna sit at home and watch TV.
That's
Great.
it.
And
Yeah.
you're comfortable. Okay. And then what, you know?
Yeah.
And 10 years from then, you're gonna like wake up one day and realize, like, man, 10 years ago, had I just like continued, you never, because you never know how close you were to
That's
making
it.
it work, you
Right.
know?
Yeah.
And maybe this is one more thing I really want to say on this topic. It's like the huge importance of starting small, but getting yourself into a situation where and Millionaire Fastlane, like MJ also talks about this. It's like about getting into this feedback loop. So like no matter how small you start, just make sure that it's sustainable, that you can. And that it's always, you know, getting better every day, like 0.1%, 0.1%. And if you have a situation like that, that was the thing for me with e-commerce and with drop shipping when I was running my own stores, like it was always like this. up and down, no consistency whatsoever. And now with email marketing agency, like I said, like it resonates much more with me, and it's much more my thing. And it's been like, it hasn't been only up, but it's been much more consistent. And I really see the long-term process vision, like how it's going to lead me to where I want to go much more clearly without all the up and downs. So that's really, really important to have, to put yourself in a situation like that.
Yeah, I think that applies to like the sense model as well. So like with dropshipping, you don't really have that kind of control, do you? You know, you could get the rug pulled out from under you any minute.
And we're all different, you know. Some people can handle this much risk. Some people can handle this much risk. Some people can handle this much risk. It's like, it all differs. And my friends, like who do dropshipping, they're super successful at it, completely crushing it. But I realized like you have to also see what suits you, like what is the right business model for you, and then just do that. So
so it's just trial and error and test things out and figure out, and like you say, like if you kept going and then you found out what works for you, had you given up after drop shipping, you may not never gotten to that point where you hired that agency to help you with the email marketing, and then you wouldn't be down this path now. So it's crazy how it works, but yeah, I mean, think we'll have to end it on that note, because that's pretty good, I think. And I don't want to take up more of your time. Obviously, you're a busy man. You got your Pomodoros to do.
I already got, I only did 8 today, actually.
Damn. Is it? Are you tracking them in an app?
Yeah, it's called, what is it called? One second. Be Focused Pro.
Be Focused Pro.
Yeah, it costs like $1 for the MacBook, and then it's a really good app.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I've tried that in the past, the old Pomodoro, and this sometimes it works for me, sometimes it doesn't, but I've never tracked this, so perhaps I'll give that a go.
Go for it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, obviously, I'm loving the progress you're putting in, and it looks like you're gonna, you know, keep going on this journey and keep succeeding, I think.
Thanks,
from this
Tom.
Short chat, I can kind of tell that you're on the right path. So,
yeah, same. I mean, it's really good to see that you're also that you reached out. You know, that that already says a lot about like your proactivity as well. And it's really smart to do a podcast as well, because it's going to be a long term asset. So, yeah, keep doing that as well. That's really good.
Awesome. Yeah. Cheers. I will. That's the thing. Consistency comes into it again, doesn't it? So. Yeah, also, I mean, like you say, if you're doing a bit of traveling, you come to the UK, then, you know, perhaps we'll have a meetup or something. But otherwise, perhaps we'll just try and communicate occasionally and, you know, keep in touch.
Sounds good. Sounds good.
Awesome. Well, I'll leave you to it then. And thanks for your time. Really appreciate that.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks so much for having me. Have a good evening.
Yeah, you too. Have a good one.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.